B-Pod Studios.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll just revisit this quickly. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray making it clear that he thinks that I am insane for taking the train to Portland, Maine. And Jay Feldman, who emails a lot, says, a good listener of the show, says, Joe Murray just needs a home base. Joe needs a seat. He knows it's comfortable, a place to smoke, and the opportunity to stop for roast beef at any time. Is that part of it? Is your love of marijuana?
That's an advantage, I would say. Again, if I can explain my side of the story, because there's three sides to every story. Fred told me he took a train to Portland, Maine, and I was just like, why would you take a train to do that when you can get there in under 90 minutes?
And then he thought it was insane. Yeah. And then I talked about taking it was, but with all my neuroses and all the stupid crap that I do, I just thought it was the oddest thing to come after me over. But I do want to say something. Christina, our intern Christina, can you come in here with Nick, please? Because I want to settle one thing. She's doing a fantastic job. But if Nick, who has just had coming off a stroke, Nick, who is coming fresh off a stroke, both of you, if you could come in here, because something happened when we were at the U.S. Open.
She made out with my dad.
That's right. That is Nick talking about the porn star Tyler Faith, who made out with his father. First of all, I don't know if we've met, if we've even talked, but hello.
Hi.
And thank you for, my daughter adores you. Thank you for being so nice to her.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she was very happy that you were here. All right, so if you don't know what happened at the U.S. Open is that the phone was ringing and I said, Jesus, Nick, like, what are you doing? And Nick texts me and he goes, oh, by the way, Christina, the intern's on the phones. And so I said two things. What an a-hole. Is number one.
That's
absolutely what happened.
From my point of view, I
might still have that.
I was saying, hey, just giving you a heads up. Christina is on the phone and she's doing a very good job.
No, you did not say that. Effing liar. So, no. He didn't say you were doing a bad job. And then my point was, first of all, why the hell are you delegating this? And second of all, how the hell should she know how to answer the phones? You're wasting your time with him. He's a loser.
Was that day one?
You should be in that room.
No, it was day three.
Oh. Yeah, so he's like, so his answer was like, hey, jackass, I have someone who's third day here answering the phones. So he's throwing her under the bus, A.
Yeah.
And B, for no reason. It's his responsibility. She shouldn't know how to answer the phones.
He threw it to the wolves at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but then to throw blame on her and he's trying to make me feel bad, which is asinine because there's no reason that Christina should know how to work the phones at all, nor should she be doing that while we're on location. So Nick was like all proud of himself, like, hey, jerk. Like, I'm skirting all my responsibilities, and you just made an intern feel bad. I said, there's no reason in the world for the intern to feel bad.
I mean, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to make you feel bad, but then it just turned around. You turned it on me.
It was the easiest thing to turn because you were being a jerk. God smited you with a stroke.
And I wasn't trying to be.
Christina, were you happy when you found out Nick had a stroke?
No.
Okay, because I would be if I was you. That maybe there's justice in this world. And someone who threw you under the bus, your third day on the job, has finally been punished.
Listen.
Do you think that was God smiting you for being so mean to the intern?
Maybe, but that wasn't my intention. So,
What were you delegating? Was there a reason to delegate?
There were a lot of phone calls coming in, and she was trying to put one of them on hold and get all the
information. There's a lot of phone calls coming in. So wouldn't you step in and answer the phones?
Yes.
It's never the intern's fault. I will always say it's never the intern's fault.
The reason I'm doing this is because it was so asinine that he would even put any blame on her. It's the dumbest thing in the world. His point was, hey, jackass, I'm not doing my job. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's egg on my face.
Did you feel like I...
Out of the whole day, I didn't feel bad for a single thing. I didn't feel bad that you...
had a stroke.
Right, that, or threw me under the bus, and I also didn't feel bad for not answering the phones, because I was also, that was my first day doing the podcast, the headlines.
Oh, Jesus, so he had you doing all of that?
I was practicing, doing both.
This is you. This is what Tom has.
I understand, Nick, but don't you think that's a lot to ask of her third day?
Well, she got.
While we're on remote, don't you think that's a lot to ask of anyone? Their third day on the job?
I don't think so. Typing up the podcast and answering phones, I don't think that's a lot.
But then what were you doing?
I was working on audio.
What do you mean?
Like archiving the show, the HD2 stuff. At the time, I was.
Do you normally do that?
Yeah.
So you were doing one third of your job?
I guess so, yes.
No, you guess so? Or mathematically, were you doing
one? And working on monitoring Twitch.
Okay. But we weren't on Twitch.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, we were?
Yeah.
All right. My advice to you, Christina, is to spend more time in that room with true professionals.
I think I'm over there next week.
All right, good.
Yeah. Well, I will not be here, so.
Oh, next week, it might maybe not be the greatest. Yeah.
So what have you learned from Nick so far?
Well, I learned how to shorten the segments on the podcast and put it on the headlines.
Okay.
Learned that. I know how to do the copier, the printer. He taught me that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's about what he knows.
The phones.
Yeah. I just like.
This is
I just like how we're on location. He's like, the phones were ringing a lot, and I also had her doing the podcast thing. Oh, okay.
I can't do anything right.
The only thing you can do right is have stroke.
Have a stroke and have a medical stuff happen.
The only thing you can do right is come into work when you don't have to. I'm very impressed that you came into work.
Iron Man.
But in all honesty, what is your goal in broadcasting, if anything? Do you want to be on the air, behind the scenes? What do you want to do?
I like sideline reporting for like football games, basketball games. I like doing that.
My advice to you is to take any opportunity, regardless of how small, take any opportunity to get on camera. Any opportunity at all.
Use your college.
Use it as think of it as cockpit hours, like. Every time that I did a fill in on a small crap radio station, I'd always think of it as like pilot hours. That like, you know, in order to become a pilot, you need to fly for so long. It doesn't matter on what level. That is my advice to you. But I think that you have really tapped out Nick's knowledge. I think that maybe the first 5 minutes of the first day, you've learned all. I think Nick's. Your ceiling, I don't even know where your ceiling is. Nick's head's abutting the ceiling right now. And the ceiling's a trampoline to Nick.
He's a high floor, low ceiling guy in draft terms.
I'd say he's a low floor, low ceiling.
Well, I think what would be great is maybe you can bring her to a, what do you guys do after the games?
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, she'll be like a woman on the street and stuff, right. Man on the street.
Yeah, dealing with the public. Yeah, that's a good one to have experience with.
You know, working on your toes, getting right. People's reactions.
Nick, would you find that intimidating? Would you take her with you?
No, I wouldn't find it intimidating at all.
All right. Well, I just wanted to...
I'm not doing anything different than what the other shows do with their interns.
No, except for announcing to me that everything was her fault.
Listen,
feel bad about it?
Do I feel bad about it?
Should he feel bad about what he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Christina?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there could have been a different way to go about it.
Wow.
But I knew his intention because I was sitting right next to him.
Right, which is usually what it takes.
But I would understand why you guys would be like, oh, he's throwing her under the bus.
Right.
You know?
So basically, I was the hero that day.
I was trying to...
Christina, was I the hero that day?
Basically, yeah.
Thank you.
I was trying to bust your balls, but then it got...
Yeah, don't try so hard to do that. You're never going to win.
I know.
All right. Well, listen, can you move your hand at least?
Yes.
I contacted you when you were in the hospital.
You did? You called me.
I did.
I didn't answer because I was talking to a doctor.
That's fine. Well, I understand you not answering the phone, but I called. I didn't feel texting was appropriate. I thought
everybody reached out and made sure I was all right.
I'm glad you're all right.
You were not the last one to reach out.
I was not the last one.
You were not the last one.
And who was?
I'm not going to say names, Dan.
Well,
I found out on the air.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we were
not. No one told me. You guys kept it private?
No, we did not say anything on the air until...
That's what I'm saying. You guys didn't even tell me off the air. I found out
oh, okay.
After.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. No. We didn't say anything on the air. Nick.
Okay.
When you were in the hospital, we didn't say anything. Until you cleared us too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Christina, do you take trains?
I do.
Take it? What town are you from?
I'm from Chelsea.
Chelsea? Ooh.
I don't even know.
Give us the restaurants, Joe.
It's right next to Everett. Brown Jug, right?
Brown
Jug,
yeah.
Nice. Is Floramos in there?
Yeah.
The meat falls off the bone of Floramos. I can tell you.
All right.
Very good.
Okay. I don't even know. I've never been to Chelsea in my life.
It's right next to Everett.
You would love
it. That's probably why I haven't been to Chelsea. That's probably why I've never been to Chelsea. All right. Well, very good. It was nice to meet you.
You too.
Some great roast beef shops in Chelsea as well, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry if I've never. I think I have said hello before, but I'm sorry if I've not. I'm a very shy person. All right. Well, Nicholas, I'm glad God smited you, but you were able to survive.
Yes.
We'll work on getting you in the other booth.
You're doing a fantastic job, and I think it is a good idea if you went out with Nick one time to get audio.
Yeah.
I think that that would be good.
Approaching people for audio is tough to do.
It is.
Even if it's like down at like Gillette talking to players, you know, it's not easy. They don't want to talk to you.
But our show has been a conduit to many people getting television jobs.
Yeah.
This show is the TNR bump. It's a stepping stone. Not saying it's a stepping stone in a bad way. It's a launch pad.
Sure. Oh, there's people that have far superior jobs than us that have done stuff on the show.
Nick?
No. I like Nick very much, but I don't think there's a lot to learn there. Wait, what? I've also had Nick do personal stuff for me. Me? What? Are they going to pay me for this? Jesus Christ. This is low. All right, fine. Okay. Everything you said just is here. Everything you were talking about off the air is here in my hand.
Oh, jeez. It's 4th of July weekend, everybody.
I cannot believe they're asking me to do this. All right. Very good. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Toucher and Rich. And many of you are not, who are normal listeners, are not listening as you've gone about your adventures for the 4th of July weekend. I'm traveling with 2 children tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be in a car for 6 hours with 2 kids on Sunday.
Well, at least you're not taking the train.
That would probably be faster, and I could get away then.
Yes. You don't want to take the train. You need to be in the car.
Do you have 4th of July plans?
I'm going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then I got to fly to Denver. It's all kids' sports stuff.
He has, his kids are too successful at sports. It's a problem.
It's very expensive.
What about you, Fred? Where are you going to be when the fireworks go off?
I am going to be in luxurious south of Knoxville, Tennessee.
I got invited to Point of Pines Revere.
Nice. Your best friend.
Fireworks, you know, and fights.
I think I'm going.
Point of Pines.
Hell yeah.
Point of Pines.
I mean, I'm usually down the Cape, to be honest. But if I'm not down the Cape, I might as well be down Point of Pines, right?
That's where the action is.
How many people does Bird have stacked in that house now?
So at his house, his dad's in Florida. So really, it's kind of him alone unless his mom's there. So I know it's like he lives at home.
Are his parents separated?
No, his dad's retired, so he spends most of his time in Florida. He's home in the, you know. But they live like, when I tell you, 4 steps away from the beach, they live 4 steps.
No, I understand that, but they but not a good one. But
no, Point of Pines is nice.
All right, so, I mean, I don't know about anything about it, but if they live there, I can't imagine it's that nice.
No, it really is nice.
Okay, so on a scale of what? All right, so, but I will, so wait a second. So Bird's dad is still married to Bird's mom.
Yes, yeah.
But Bird's mom spends all her time.
Yeah, because, his sisters have children, so she watches them all.
And so the dad gets to just be by himself.
No, I think he comes back often. That's his retirement home, and I think his father's out there too, is like what I think.
Bird's dad's still alive?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
That is a family that had children very young.
I could be talking out of school over here, but that's the way I understand it.
Talk about a lucky guy. He just gets to be by himself in Florida with not... Boy, that is... And that while his wife just sticks around and has to take care of the grandkids?
I think she goes to Florida, too, though, a lot, so...
I would imagine, but there still sounds like there's gaps where he's there by himself, which sounds delightful.
Yeah. He looks like the Hoff.
He does?
Yeah.
The grandfather or the
dad? No, Bird's dad. Hunk.
He is?
Well, you can see it from Bird.
Yeah, he got the ass end of the stick on that. So Bird is still living there?
Yeah, Point of Pines. I was invited to, they have a big party this weekend.
All right.
I think I'm gonna go.
So, but is it him, his sister?
Yeah,
all
like
those kids?
All those families. Yeah.
So, like, no one moved out.
No, no one lives there. No, they all got married and have their own places.
Okay, except for Bird.
Yes, but so, I, you know what? I'm supportive of this man. I think he works 2 jobs. He's home. You know, he's got his home. He's got. I'm very supportive of his situation.
He's 40 years old.
Doesn't matter. I'm very supportive of his situation. He can do whatever he wants to do, and I like that for my friend.
He lives with his parents.
It doesn't matter. He can do whatever he wants. They're not home a lot. It's like he can.
He can do whatever he wants at 40.
Listen, none of us can do whatever we want. Bird can, and I support that, damn it.
Can he watch TV after 9 o'clock, or do they make him go to bed?
He can. Yes, he can.
Well, listen, I bet you he can.
It's not like you think it is.
I don't think his all I know is that if my kids were 40 and living at home, I would be pissed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't want him home at 20.
They're not home. I mean, like I said, it's kind of like, hey, we have a house on the beach.
That's like some parents are like, you know, oh, boy, I don't know about my kid getting a driver's license. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
My kid's getting his driver's license. My kids are getting their driver's license.
That only helps you.
The minute that they can.
Yeah. I mean, I'm driving around the same town for 2 hours a day.
I drive. All I do is drive. All I do is drive around.
That's why you take the train.
When I'm by myself, I'm going to take the train.
Yeah. Get your kids a T-Pass. There you go.
I don't know about that. I don't know if my kids are street smart enough to figure out, not street smart in terms of like illegal activity, that they're smart enough literally to recognize streets and get home. All right. So we're talking about this, and now it's been official. The Bruins have hired Jim Montgomery. Now, I have been honest through this whole process. I'm not, you know, a master of coaching candidates, or, you know, I don't keep tabs on assistant coaches or things of that nature. But the names that were coming out were not overly intriguing. I didn't know a lot. I was ignorant. But then yesterday, the guy, I believe, down in Providence, or who the guy that used to write for ESPN, Twitter, who's reporting all this?
McDonald. Okay, Joe McDonald.
Is he in Providence?
He's in Worcester.
He was in Worcester. Yeah.
Because he used to be the ESPN guy, I think. So anyway, he was reporting this Jim Montgomery. Now, who is Jim Montgomery? Well, Jim Montgomery apparently was a hot-ass coach, and he coached the Dallas Stars, who had young stars at the time. You have to remember they had Sagan and what's-his-face. And so they're young stars on that team, and he coached them to a second-round, seven-game playoff loss. And so what happens is that he gets fired, and it comes out that he takes total responsibility for it, and he goes to rehab for an alcohol problem. Now, the reason that I find this intriguing is that I love the idea of buying low on a guy for something that I don't think is a problem that other people might. Now, I'll give you an example. Dan Marino. How many teams passed on Dan Marino? I know it was something like five quarterbacks were taken before Dan Marino. Why? Because there was this inference that he had a cocaine issue. Warren Sapp. The Jets took the great Kyle Brady ahead of Warren Sapp while the whole Marriott Marquis chanted Warren Sapp's name, and that was for marijuana. Larry Tunsil. A picture came out with him like with a mask on smoking weed. So when people have these things, and now Tunsil's what? You know, an all-pro. You have Warren Sapp, who's, if not a Hall of Famer, certainly at least borderline, and you have Marino, who's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. If people were spooked by this guy's alcohol problem, and that was the only thing that was hindering him from becoming a head coach again, I find this hire to be very intriguing, because this guy, for all we know, could be the greatest. But people were afraid of a very human problem, a very common problem, and a very fixable problem. And it turns out that he, you know, got clean, was a bench coach over there for the St. Louis Blues. Joe, you said he was working with the power play.
Yeah, and the forwards with St. Louis.
All right.
So he was there. But this is kind of a guy that, you know how like the Quinn names and some of these other guys? Well, he already did the college thing, was very successful at it. Went and got an opportunity with a Dallas Stars team that, you know, went to the semifinal and lost to the Blues. They were a good team that year. They lost in a game seven to the Blues. So, like, this guy had his team on the, up and to the right. 31 games into the next season, obviously the team just basically moved on from him. He took it head on, rehabilitated himself, was with St. Louis. So I think this is they're taking a stab at something that might be a guy who's a damn good coach who needs a new opportunity.
Yeah.
They want to hit the college type player, stay young, but also maybe bring in a Canadian coach, which they've never really had. Well, I know Claude was, but I'm just saying, bring that in instead of a college guy.
Cassidy wasn't Canadian?
I don't know, actually.
No, Cassidy's Canadian.
He's Canadian? Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't know. But no, but what I mean, though, is like, they always talk about bringing in these, like, college guys, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
This is...
Well, no, but yeah. But I know what you're saying about Cassidy.
And I know
Cassidy
came from college.
Providence and had been in Providence forever and da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is something to be said with not having the...
But how many times...
The Boston connection.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. The whole, oh, this kid played here, so go get him because he's from a New England school. Like, I just, ugh.
Yeah, but and the thing about that is that, like, they're like, oh, yeah, he's a... Like, Where else are you going to play college hockey?
No, I know. But Charlie Coyle's from Weymouth. Like, Matt Grizzlick's from Charleston. It's like, oh,
no, it's annoying.
Let's get this guy because, you know, he coached at, Providence. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
One of the things I love about this guy is he had his issues. He owned up to them, and it didn't take him long to get hired by the team that beat him in the playoffs when he was a head coach. So they must have seen something in him, and they really like what they saw from him. So, I mean, that's all promising stuff, and he is very open and honest, and I like the hire a lot.
I mean, if you look at Steve Sarkisian, he had his alcohol issues at USC. He goes through the Alabama car wash. Then he recruits Arch Manning to Texas. I mean, and I don't care if he wins or loses. He recruited Arch Manning to Texas.
It's huge.
Which is huge.
Going to get other people to go there.
Yeah, now everyone's going to want to go there. Yeah. And the NILs there are going to be, like, insane.
I like it. It's a roll of the dice.
I like it.
Too.
For someone who was completely ignorant, as myself, to these guys, this seems like buying low on a guy with a very high ceiling.
Now, one last thing. I think the Dave, this brings up the David Pastrnak situation. This is a coach that is a defensive-minded, aggressive coach. Would you put David Pastrnak in that category?
No. What, defensive-minded, as aggressive? No.
Is he a risk-taker, do you think, Pastrnak, on the ice? Like, does he play over-aggressive that, like, they benefit from that?
I mean, he's not an overly physical player, but he's not a pussy.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he did put on weight, and he's not Kessel.
Do you think that this is a guy that, when I say defensive-minded, aggressive system, does that remind? Like, I don't know
if he's any kind of coach, he can coach David Pastrnak. Yeah,
he'll find a way for him to be successful.
If he's so set in his ways with what he wants that he can't, you know, adjust things for Pastrnak, then it's a terrible hire. Pastrnak's the kind of player you adjust to him. You don't adjust. You don't have him adjust to your program.
Okay. That's why I'm looking at it. Like, if all the talk about moving on from Pastrnak is not so much about the future contract or anything, and it's about the coach that's here, that makes sense to me.
Here's the bottom line with Pastrnak is if he likes it here, he's going to take a little bit less money. And if he doesn't like it here, he's going to go out and get $10 million. I don't think the Bruins are going to pay him $10 million. I think they'd pay him $9.5 million, and he deserves it. And he'll, in the open market, he could get, I mean, we had someone on yesterday said he could get $11 million. So it's all if he wants to stay. If he wants to stay and he's willing to take, you know, $1 million less a year to stay here, that's great. And if he's not, then he's going to go free agent.
And the flip side, he did coach Tyler Seguin, who I wouldn't put in that category either.
No,
right?
He coached. Yeah. And then who's the other young forward on that team whose name I can't think of? Seguin and Eberle. Who's the other guy there? Anyway, they had a bunch of young forwards, and Seguin was, Julian couldn't control Seguin. And he got Seguin to play. So, I mean, Seguin's certainly not like a hard-nosed defensive forward. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they had that really young, really good first line. And I can't remember who else was on it, but what am I going to do? What do you want? All information out of me?
Jamie Benn, Vladislav, Nastin Nikimov, or whatever.
Benn is who has to go. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
Describing our show to anybody is strange.
I mean, this is nonsense.
What makes a show like this tick, tick, tick?
Tutcher and Rich.
Oh, God, they're so tall.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll take Scott before we get to what we're going to do. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I know you're a big Saved by the Bell fan.
You got that right.
Been watching a lot of reruns, and I had a thought about Screech. You know, he's always played up to be a genius. He created the robot Kevin using artificial intelligence. He was a chess champion. When he was practicing for the Academic Bowl, he blew away Jesse. Yet he only got a 1220 on the SATs. Nobody gives it a second thought. Plus, he ended up going to Cal U with Slater, Zach, and Kelly, even though Zach was supposed to go to Yale.
Where was Slater supposed to go? Do you know?
He was going to go to Cal U.
No, he was going to go to Iowa.
Yeah. A wrestling scholarship.
Yeah, there was a lot of plot holes when they started at Cal U, because it was the big thing was that Slater had to convince his very hard-ass military father to allow him to go to Iowa to pursue his wrestling dream. Everyone knows Iowa's the best wrestling school. Brandon Tartikoff, head of NBC, very aware of that.
And there's no hope with dope.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was after they had been seduced by the fame of whatever the kid's name was. And so, yeah, and, you know, Kelly was going to go to Stanford. And, yeah, they Screech was the classic, you know, socially awkward but brilliant young man. Unless he broke the Elvis statue, and then he was rendered useless. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you only got a 1220 in the SAT. I guess he wasn't.
They're saying it's a flawed standardized test is what they're saying.
No, it's an IQ test.
Well, but then why did Zach do so well? You know?
Didn't they switch tests or something? Wasn't that one of the episodes?
Which what? What?
Didn't Zach and Screech switch tests? Wasn't that one of the episodes?
On the SAT?
I remember them switching tests.
No. The big thing with the SAT episode was that Zach did better than Jesse.
Yeah.
And Jesse mm-hmm. then became paranoid that she wasn't going to get... In fact, is that the episode where she says... Where she's on the over-the-counter caffeine pills?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. But it's around that time.
Yes.
All right.
That... It's season, I think, yeah.
But to answer your question, Scott, there's many, many plot holes when they go to Cal U. A lot of things left unsaid. A lot of explanations not there. Almost like when 90210, everybody went to the same college. None of them dared venture out of the other side. In fact, graduated college early so he could go to the university with the rest of the Beverly Hills gang. So there you have it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a game that we like to play. This is a special 4th of July edition of...
No!
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your...
Who else in the love car say yeah?
Yeah! Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
All right. It is a 4th of July edition of... Armpits of America. Mike Lockhart has scoured the internet looking for stories. He will read us a story, Joe, and we will give us a multiple choice of where this story took place. We will then guess and play the news audio. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. A large cache of regular and homemade fireworks was discovered after a long investigation by police. The bomb squad had to clear the neighborhood. Did this happen in California, Missouri, or Alabama?
Alabama.
I'm going to say Missouri.
Oh, you're both wrong. It happened in California.
All right. Oh. Well, there are quarries everywhere that need a blowing. All right. Here we go.
It's breaking news. The bomb squad responds after a cache of illegal fireworks is found in Azusa. Tonight, residents in that neighborhood have been ordered to evacuate. And CBS2's Nicole Comstock is live with the very latest from the scene. Nicole?
Well, Pat, I can tell you it is a very hot day to have to be evacuated from your home, all because one of your neighbors has been stockpiling dangerous illegal fireworks right next door. Now, a short time ago, we did see officers detaining one person in connection to this investigation. Take a look at that video. Police handcuffed this man right in front of a home on Hollyvale Street in Azusa and seated him in the back of a squad car. No word yet on whether or not any arrests have been made in connection to this illegal fireworks investigation. But neighbors tell us they are happy that something is finally being done about this. They say those fireworks have been blasting off over their homes every night. They say they have reported it to police numerous times.
Hell yeah. And then why do I have to evacuate my house? Because the guy's got some sparklers and some M80s.
I think these are big boomers. Burn your house down kind of fireworks.
But they sell those in Tennessee. Like, my kids want to light off fireworks. Like, if I wanted to, but my parents don't have enough property. But if I wanted to, now they're expensive. They're like $150. But you can buy, it's probably a 20-pound brick. And it's like, and when you light it, it's like the ones that go high in the sky and go and like, you know, flutter rainbow of colors like that. Yeah. Those are available for me to purchase.
Yeah.
And just because I'm stockpiling them for a kick-ass celebration, maybe to celebrate the greatest country that ever existed. I mean, you're going to evacuate me and the man's going to tell me I can't do that. I mean, you're going to first you take away my guns. Now you're taking away my fireworks. And just because you were lucky enough to have a neighbor that had the guts and the wherewithal to give you a sweet fireworks display every night, and you're going to call the pigs on them? Come on.
And they have all been really worried that this dangerous combustible material could explode and either hurt or kill people who live nearby.
Oh, bunch of wimps. Big deal. He's got a bunch of fireworks. If anything, he's going to blow him up.
All we're hearing so far is that there are some homemade fireworks crews are now tasked with rendering safe inside one of these homes, and that an investigation has been going on for quite some time. Here's one of those neighbors we spoke with.
You know, you call the cops, and yeah, they got their hands tied, and they get there when they can, and et cetera. And like I said, I've talked to a couple of them already. I've confronted them. They don't care.
Yeah, they should rush right over to the fireworks guy.
They don't care.
They should drop. Yeah, they should drop everything and rush over to you.
There was a murder, but we got fireworks down the street.
So. Did I ever tell you guys that this really happened? So we bought our house, and there's one part of the basement that's not finished. Joe just saw food from George and pointed at the screen. He's very excited. There's lobster rolls and salads
all over the place.
That's right. Look at how excited he just got. He's like the Zip Trip is in Dorchester, and they're having some food.
We got our beefs, bro.
So there was this like slight swelling in like the brick that was in the basement. So we had called the guy, and the guy came out, and he goes, "All right, here's the deal. Your foundation is really compromised, and what could happen is that the wall could give way and then hit your water heater and your house will explode." He's like, "I think you're in danger of your house blowing up." So I go, "Oh, Jesus Christ, did we buy this house with a bad foundation? Like, what was going on?" So my parents have this, the guy who built their house always helps out. And so I took a picture of the wall and I sent it to him, and he goes, "What the hell is it?" He's like, "No." And then he's like, "Call another guy." So I had another guy come out, and he's like, "There's nothing wrong with your house. Here's a letter for 10 years that your foundation's okay." I had a guy come to my house and tell me that he was going to have to excavate the house.
Yeah, it's happened to me before.
And told me that my house was going to blow up, just lying.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if I mean, tens of thousands of dollars of work that would have gone into that
This
house.
Happens every day. I just got a...
That bolt, but in your face, like in your home, just lying to you to that degree. It's just reminding me of the house blowing up. Like, the guy told me your house is going to...
You freaked out.
Like, of course I freaked out. I'm like, this is going to be tens of thousands of dollars of work. Like, when they have to start screwing around with the foundation of your house. Yeah. I mean, I did get a guy came out and he goes, "No, there's nothing wrong with your house. Here's a 10-year certificate on your foundation." But... I can't imagine. See, I know people try to scam you, right? And I'm aware of that. And a lot of times I've overpaid for like a cab coming out of a Red Sox game because like I just don't want to deal with it.
Get out of there.
Right? But it's an entirely other thing to come into someone's house with a family and then bold-faced lie to them that they could die unless you do this work.
Yeah, you got to be a real piece of garbage.
I mean, that is really over the top.
Yeah. Did you call that guy back? I would have called him and been like, "F you." Yeah.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
I know this is different, but I worked in the automotive business for a very long time.
Yeah.
And the stories we'd tell some people to get into new cars and do some work. Let me tell you. You know?
What do you mean?
I just think that, like, hey, you know, I know you're here to like get an oil change, but I just want to let you know that you know, your brakes are very unsafe, and with your new
new Johnson rod, you could die. George Costanza would say.
Yeah, I even accept a lot of that from the car people.
Yeah.
Like, I figure, like, this guy does work on my car, and my brakes just like squeal every time I hit them. They just they squeak, and the guy had fixed my brakes, but they were still really squeaking. So I said to the guy, I'm like, "The brakes are squeaking." And he's like, "Well," he's like, "you're not driving the car enough." He's like, I go, "I assure you I'm driving the car all the time." No. It's not my fault. You just got to loosen them up a little bit. All right, let's do one more of these. Okay. What do we got here,
man? All right, a fireworks tradition turns chaotic when people start to fire them at each other and police. Did this happen in North Carolina, Arkansas, or Montana?
Well, it didn't happen in Montana.
No.
So let's say Arkansas.
Let's go Arkansas.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
All right, very good. Let's hear from the good people of Arkansas.
Something like this, and they would drop something in it like that, and then they would hold it like...
Oh, by the way, he's describing a giant pipe that you would shoot a huge firework out of.
Yeah, hell yeah. Taped to a frog.
Yeah.
Something like this, and they would drop something in it like that. Then they would hold it like this and point it in the direction of officers and people and buildings and whatever.
Five people lost fingers. Several others have injuries.
Hell yeah!
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. Who can hold the M80 the longest?
Or have a next phone?
It's a badge of honor. They call me lucky because I only blew off two fingers.
Five people lost fingers.
In a fireworks war.
Not one. Five.
No, five people. Hell yeah. Blood Brothers, baby. Sacrificed my fingers to the quarry. I'll tell you what, I might have lost some fingers, but a lot of frogs lost their butts.
Five people lost fingers, several others have injuries, and 12 more are facing charges following a chaotic firework war in a Pulaski County neighborhood.
And it sounds like a nightmare, but as Stephanie Escobel explains, it's a 4th of July tradition that some say has spiraled out of control.
Oh, you think that it might have spiraled out of control there? It's a 4th of July tradition. We've been doing it for generations.
Oh, these damn liberals.
Yeah, we just sit there, we shoot off, go blind. Just get it. I love it. Shoot a Roman candle. I'll put it right up in my eye. I don't care. I'm tougher than that Roman candle.
I spent the day talking to people who tell me this firework fight has been happening for years now. They say every year it gets bigger and bigger, but this Independence Day, it got way out of hand. Now, I do want to warn you, some of the images you are about to see are graphic.
Craziest 4th of July we ever had.
Locals call it the 4th of July firework war and say it's been around for years.
They know when 4th of July come, this is about to be it.
Although it's nothing new, 19-year-old Benicas Christopher says this is the first time the event has sent him to the hospital.
It popped right here. And it was like, it could have been dangerous. I almost lost everything, so.
Yeah, it's like he was in the war.
Yeah.
It was very dangerous. I almost lost everything, but I lived to tell the tale of the fireworks fight.
Pulaski County Sheriff's Office confirms five people lost fingers and 12, including juveniles, were arrested and are facing charges.
They didn't know what to do either. They was confused. Like, it was like, well, so many injuries.
Two Pulaski County deputies.
They were confused. There were so many injuries.
You're just picking fingers up off the street.
I mean, whose finger belonged to who? And then what do you do with the finger? Do you put it on ice? Do you keep it warm? I mean, we don't know what's going on.
Two Pulaski County deputies also suffered minor injuries.
No, they were shooting at the cops.
Body cam video shows several close calls where deputies almost took direct hits from large-scale fireworks.
They were shooting at the officers. The officers were trying to do what they do, trying to bring order into this chaotic situation.
Pastor Dal Evans, who saw the chaos unfold, says all things considered, the situation could have ended worse.
It should have been really bad, but it didn't. Nobody didn't get killed.
Yeah, no one got killed, so...
A few fingers.
Just a few fingers.
No big deal.
A lot of maiming. Yeah. No one got killed, though, so chalk one up for the fireworks.
Someone asked if we could make an over-under on fingers that will be lost this 4th of July.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just in Boston or around the country?
I don't know.
It's just the idea of losing a finger is just, you have to be so dumb. like you just light it and take two steps back. See, they read us a story when I was in elementary school about a kid who went blind from a firework. So I'm still paranoid about that. But I light off the fireworks. I'm not concerned with my fingers. See, because my fingers immediately move.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You light the fuse and then you move your hands away. Is my trick to not losing the fingers.
Yeah, usually it's getting bit by a crocodile, just something real hillbilly.
That's right.
To lose a finger.
Exactly. You done gone where you let the fish bite your hand, and that's how you catch him. You get stuck between two rocks and die. All right, when we come back, Keith Smith will join us. Is Kevin Durant coming to the Boston Celtics? Does it make sense?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.